Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. We're going to join in singing this morning as we sing Good News. We did this last week. Let's sing again. All around, every word like an echo, just bringing them down, down, down. We've all been looking for a silver lining, something to hold on to when hope's been hiding. I know a place you can go if you want to find it. This is the good news. If you're breathing, it's for you.
Still rising. got good news for you. A couple things. First of all, some temporary good news. It's going to be 70 degrees today. Come on. Other good news. Jesus loves you. So take a moment to tell five or six people around you Jesus loves you and make your way back. Let's do so together, friends. As you make your way back, go ahead and have a seat. We're so glad that you've come to worship with us. If you are a guest in the room today, we want to say welcome. It's an honor to have you. If you would take a moment to fill out the registration that's attached to the worship guide you received and then place it in the offering box as you leave, or you can scan the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you, or one will show up on the screen as you're leaving, and that will be fine as well. What we will do is we'll take your information, and then I have a personal note to send you in the mail along with a little gift, and that's all we're going to do. We won't show up unannounced, so we hope that you'll take time to do that today. If you're participating at home, it's an honor to have you. If you'll follow the prompts on the screen just as well and connect with us that way, we would greatly appreciate that. Each week we pray for a different church. This week we're praying for Messiah Haitian Church, Messiah Haitian Baptist Church. It's Pastor Dukinson, Maryland, and he was with us last week for our advanced conference last Sunday morning, but their church now is in their 13th year, working on 13 years. We're so excited for their congregation. God is growing them, and great things are happening. Let's pray for them and for their service today. And then our missionaries of the week are Jay and A, who serve in Central Asia. It's a little bit confusing, and we have to be careful with names because of the live stream and the radio, but we have two different J and A's serving in two different parts of Central Asia. I was trying to figure out how to tell you which one it was by being a little bit careful with it. So I'll just say this. Come see me after. I'll whisper the name in your ear. So that's what we'll do. So I'll let you know, but pray for J and A as they're serving and for God to move in power among them. Then we want to begin this week in earnest praying for the unreached people group, the Pamiri people of Tajikistan. And each week we'll mention that name. Each week we'll pray. We're going to ask you to pray for them every day. You'll learn a little more about them each week over the next number of weeks. Let me start today by saying it's a group of about 260,000 men and women, boys and girls that live in a very mountainous region in Tajikistan, and they have no gospel presence. There are no missionaries there. There are no churches there. If there are any that know Jesus, it is because they have left that closed country, have gone somewhere else to be educated, and possibly came back secretly doing so, but that number would probably be less than the number that you could hold up on two hands. And so the reality is these people need the Lord. And we're praying for them, and so we want to ask you to begin to pray for them as well. Let's pray, and we'll carry on in worship. Father God, we take a moment to say thank you for the good news, the gospel. Lord, it is good news for our lives, but as I can't remember even which evangelist said it years ago, the good news is only good if it gets there in time. So God, there are people that have not heard it. Lord, help them. Lord, we pray for the Pamiri people, that someone would bring the gospel there to them, that it would make its way there. Lord, I pray you'd speak to them. As I prayed in the earlier service, I pray you'd speak to them in their dreams. Reveal yourself to them. Father, I pray, as it says in Romans chapter 1, that even nature declares the glory in who you are, that you'll reveal yourself in nature, but in a way that makes them want to seek out who is this God and who are you. And God, send someone to go and share with them. Father, we pray for Messiah Haitian Church. We're so thankful for Pastor Dukinson and Sister Jackie. We're thankful for that faith family. We're thankful that we get to be a part of it and have now for well over a decade. Our prayer is that you would continue to provide for their needs as they need an expanded worship area, continue to provide discipleship and growth and move among them. Father, we pray also, Lord, for our missionaries, J and A. Lord, you know exactly who we're talking about, and you know their circumstance and where they serve and what they do. Lord, we pray for boldness. We pray for open doors. We pray for the gospel. We pray for a harvest. Lord, may they not just be ones who get to sow seeds, but God, would you bless them by letting them see part of your harvest, letting them see it, Father. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room that we would be reminded that the greatest news, though it is going to be a beautiful day, and the greatest news, though we all have something to celebrate probably in our lives, the greatest news is that Jesus lives. And because he lives, we can face today, tomorrow. So we sing about that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. You know, because he lives. Let's lift it up together, because he lives.
God sent his son.
In Jesus Christ. Let's sing that this morning.
I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from above. I've been down to the
We've already had church, folks. Let's keep this going.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will
Jesus shed will never lose its power. I know when Andre Crouch wrote that song years ago, decades ago, it's such a great line that it reaches to the highest mountain. But Father, I'm thankful that that includes Sand Mountain. It includes this place where we are, where those of us who are listening by radio, those participating online, those of us in the room, His blood has enough power to save all of us. And so, Father, my prayer is that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that they would come to know you today as we look at your plan for the world, which includes your plan for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated, friends. I hope you were blessed by last weekend's missions conference. What a week. Today, we kind of wrap up a thought that we began there, and then we begin a new message series in the weeks to come, and excited about our winter and spring ahead of us and what's going to take place. Hope you'll make plans to be a part of it. But for today, I spent 5 minutes at the beginning of last week's service, before all of the interviews, talking about something that happens in Genesis chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 5. And I want to expound on that a little more and hopefully see how it will apply to our lives. But I want to begin with an illustration that I have used, I think now, 4 times over the last almost 14 years as your pastor. By the way, today is Cale Colvin's 3rd year anniversary as our student pastor. So we're thankful to have Cale. Talk to me when you get to 14, buddy, but I'm just kidding. It's okay. No, that's great. We're so thankful that God has brought them here. But I've shared this illustration a few times over the last 14 years, but I have to because it's so good. the illustration is not so good. It's just I have to tell you something good. And that is when I was in eighth grade and Lily was in sixth grade. By the way, we've been married this June. It'll be 29 years. So we met for the first time. We both attended a new school called the Academy for Academics and Arts in Huntsville. And so we went to this school, and she was 2 years younger than me, and all was great. And it came time to the end of the year to get our yearbooks. And so we've got our yearbooks. I don't have a picture to show you. I wish I did, but I think she knows where it is, but won't let me show you. I asked for it this week. She says she didn't know. But so in this yearbook, you open it up and you go to my picture. And in Lily's yearbook, not mine, in Lily's yearbook, my picture, she has my picture circled. And with the black marker, it says F-I-N-E, fine. She's not in this service. She was in the early service, and I told her this morning, she was sitting right over here, I said, Lily, I am so grateful to the Lord that he made your dreams come true. That's what I told her. And she didn't appreciate it, but I told her that this morning. And it's true. Now, why do I tell you that? Because 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago now, I heard a mission speaker. I was in a lecture, and a guy named Bob Shogren, he spoke, and he said something that brought me to that, but that also stopped me in my tracks. I had never heard it kind of put this way. He said, we Westerners, we Americans, often treat the Bible like our school yearbook. So you think about it. You go back to when you were in high school or when you were in middle school and you got your yearbook for the first time. It's handed to you. You open it up. What's the first thing you go looking for? Yourself. And he said, if we're not careful, we treat the Bible, we open it up, and we go looking for ourselves. When the truth is, God has given us his word as his story so that we can see him and he can be magnified. Now, you'll find yourself all along the way, but we cannot read with the idea that it's somehow about us. And so I would word it this way. It'll be on the screen. If we're not purposeful in our study of God's word, we will go looking for ourselves in the Bible instead of looking for God. And the secret to fulfillment in your life is the same as the secret to fulfillment in my life. Life, and that is this. You've got to start by realizing it's not about you. Rick Warren said it best in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, that sold like 60 million copies a couple of decades ago. He started out the very first line of the book, it's not about you. Guys, if we can come to realize that life is not about us, it truly is about God and our worship of him, it will bring you more joy and fulfillment you'll ever find by focusing on yourself. So we are part of God's story for his glory, and our purpose and our satisfaction and our joy is found in him and living for him. Your joy, your satisfaction will not be found in your job. Listen, no offense, but in this room, this size, somebody's going to lose their job this year. Your joy and your satisfaction better not be in that. Your joy and your satisfaction is not found in a career, because in this room, there will be people who will retire from their career. And so where's your joy coming from? Your joy and your satisfaction cannot even be found in another person. It must be found in God and in worshiping him for his glory. And you see, that's why in the Bible, we see God's plan for mankind. All throughout the Bible, it teaches us that God designed us to worship him and to give him glory. Last week, I took just a minute before the interviews, and we started with Genesis chapter 12, and then we looked at Revelation chapter 5, and we showed that God's plan is that we worship him, and from the very beginning, he wants the whole world to know him. He alone deserves the worship. He's the only one that should have it, and he's the one that brings us fulfillment through it. I want you to think back to a worshipful moment. Now, we had a nice worshipful moment today, but have you ever been in a worship service somewhere, or maybe on your knees in your own home by yourself, or maybe it was at student camp? Listen, as a student pastor, many of those moments happen there. Why do I think it happens more for students than adults? Because students are much quicker to humble themselves before the Lord, honestly, than me as an adult. We sometimes get set in our ways. And so you think about student camp, you think about a revival service, think about something special that happened in your life where it was so palpable. The spirit was so thick in the room. You could sense the presence of God that you got little glory bumps on on your arms and you didn't want to leave that moment, but that moment left because the song ended, the passage ended, the prayer ended, and then we busy our lives with circumstance and situation. So those kind of moments don't come along too often. If they came along weekly, that'd be incredible, but they probably come along yearly or maybe even less. But the reality is, if you've ever had one of those moments, you know the feeling. And can you imagine if you lived your life with that feeling all the time? Now, it's not about feelings, but there is satisfaction and fulfillment found when we worship God in purity and He responds to that worship. So it's not about corporate worship, but it really is about a life of worship. That's what God wants from us. Not that feeling all the time, but a life of worship. Let me show it to you why He wants that for the whole world and why He deserves it. We'll start where we started last week in Genesis chapter 12. If you'll take your Bible, turn to the first book of the Bible. Your Bible starts with Genesis. And then in Genesis chapter 12, we get the story of Abram becoming Abraham. And so Abram was an old man with no children and no prospect of having children. And so Abram becomes Abraham and God blesses him. Listen to Genesis 12, 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you." Now, was Abraham Jewish? No. Why? There were no Jewish people. Was Abraham an Israelite? No, there were no Israelites. It was just people. It was just people, one race of people. It says this, verse 2, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Now, that sounds like a good American idea. We open the Bible and find ourselves like a yearbook. God wants to bless me. God wants to bless Abraham. But look at the next verse. "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And here's the key. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The whole reason that God began the Abraham covenant that was passed on to Isaac and to Jacob, who became Israel, is because God wanted to use Israel to bless the world by sending Jesus through his line. This is about us being able to worship him. Now, here's a phrase I want you to remember, okay? Pay attention to what God repeats. Let me say it again. Pay attention to what God repeats. In fact, will you now say that out loud with me? Here we go. Pay attention to what God repeats. One more time. Pay attention to what God repeats. See, I wanted you to remember it, so I had you repeat it. When God repeats something, he wants us to remember it. So Genesis 12, God tells Abraham, "And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Turn to Genesis 26. Go to the right, 10 or 12, 14 pages. Genesis chapter 26, verse 3, he's now speaking to Abraham's son, Isaac. Listen to what he says to Isaac. "Sojourn in the land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and will give to your offspring all the lands." And here it is again, "in your offspring all the nations, all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed." Again, pay attention to what God repeats. God says it to Abraham. Pay attention to what God repeats. He says it again to Isaac. Pay attention to what God repeats in Genesis chapter 28. Turn one page in your Bible. Genesis 28 verse 13. Now he's talking to Jacob. Who is Jacob? Jacob is the son of Isaac, who's the son of Abraham. He told Abraham, "I'm going to bless you so all the world can be blessed." He told Isaac, "I'm going to bless you so all the world can be blessed." Now he tells Jacob several things, one of which, "I'm going to change your name to Israel. You'll have the 12 tribes of Israel." He tells him all this, but listen in Genesis 28, 13 to Jacob. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth." Notice he tells Isaac they'll be like the stars of heaven. At one point he tells them they'll be like the sands of the seashore. And here he says they'll be like the dust of the earth. He just means there'll be many. And he says this, "And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south." And here it is, "And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Pay attention to what God repeats. In Genesis, he has now repeated this three different times. So what's the idea? True blessing is found in knowing God and giving him glory. And so God says, "I'm blessing you so that you can know me. And now I'm going to bless you so that the nations can know me." So the true blessing that the world needs is to know God and to worship Him. So all throughout history, God has put people in circumstances so that they could give Him glory and so that others could come to know Him. The Bible shows it over and over. Again, I was reading in a book that someone wrote recently about this idea of how God shows over and over again that this is what He's doing. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. This was said in Genesis. You fast forward a couple of thousand years to a story we all know. It's the story of David and Goliath. Now, we think the story of David and Goliath is about you defeating your giant, whatever your giant is. If your giant's an addiction, you can defeat it with God. If your giant is depression, you can defeat it with God. If your giant is whatever, we have any number of ways you've heard it preached that you have a giant and with God, all things are possible. There's nothing wrong with that idea and that message, but we sometimes miss part of what's happening in this story. So let me set the stage for you if you've not heard the story in a while. David is not king yet. David has not even killed a giant yet. David is a shepherd. David has older brothers who are fighting a battle for King Saul. They come against the Israelites' main enemy of the day, which were the Philistines. And the Philistines had a giant, a champion from Gath, who was over 9 feet tall. He came from a long line of giants that the Bible speaks about. And this giant would come out and he would say, "Your God is a dog and you are horrible. Send somebody to fight me. If I beat you, you'll be our subjects. If you beat me, we'll be your subjects." And I just summarized that. And so that happened on day one in the valley of Elah, and they were afraid. By day 40, after he said it 80 times, every morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening, you get to day 40, it's the 78th time he said it, he stands up and he says it, and now the same guys who were just sad about it at first are now running. 40 days, things change in their mind and they run. So he comes out and he says it, but this time something's different. You know what's different? David's there and he heard it. David had brought the lunch for his brothers to battle. And so he brought the lunch to them and then he stands there when Goliath comes out and says this speech. Everybody else runs in great fear. David gets mad. David decides that he's going to be angry for the Lord. It's a righteous anger. So he goes, somehow he gets to the king. I think it's because he told someone, most likely, "Hey, I'll fight this guy." And then they were crazy enough to tell somebody else who told somebody else who tells the king, "You've been looking for somebody. Here's this little kid says he'll do it." And so David steps up and says, "I'll do this." And long story short, we know David goes out to battle. And it's David's speech that reveals the lesson that we're teaching today. 1 Samuel 17, verse 46. It says, David says this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down. I will cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Even the story of David and Goliath has been designed that the world will know that God deserves to be worshipped and He is real. So even a story like this shows that. Let me give you one more. Daniel in the lion's den. You know this story where Daniel has stood for the Lord instead of bowing down to false idols. He stood for the Lord instead of doing the wrong thing. He ends up in a lion's den, and King Darius, who is a pagan king, comes along and says, "I don't want to do this, but I got to." And so they seal up the lion's den, and the lions don't eat him. God protects him. And so the lions have eaten everybody else that's ever been thrown into this pit. And so the next day, they realize that Daniel is alive. Now listen to the words of the pagan King Darius. Don't miss this. This is not someone who believes in God. This is a pagan King Darius. He says this, Daniel 6:25. "Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth." He didn't just say this to a court full of people. He wrote a letter and said, "Send this to every people, tribe, nation, and language that we possibly know of, and let them know this." And he says this, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and to fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." Do you realize this pagan king has shared the gospel with the world better than any believer you've ever met has done so? It's amazing to know why. That's God's plan. God's story is to be revealed. His glory is to be revealed around the world so that the nations will worship him. That's all peoples. That includes peoples in Albertville. That includes peoples right here in our neighborhood. It's for us as well. This is what God has called us to do. We could give a dozen more examples of people in the Bible where you will see that every time it's so that all the nations would come to worship him. This was God's theme of his scripture. But I won't talk about another person. Let me quickly share with you something that I read recently as well, which caught my attention about the temple. So in the temple, when you go to 1 Kings chapter 8, it's the last place I'll ask you to turn, 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon is king, and Solomon has built the very first temple. Now, we all think and we know that the temple really was for Jewish people. Us Gentiles were really not going to be in there, and later we understand there's symbolism about it for us. But you've got to know, God knew from the start that the temple was going to point to Jesus. God knew from the start that the temple was to help even people in the Old Testament have an understanding of who God was and that he deserved to be worshipped. Listen to Solomon's prayer he prays at the dedication of the temple. 1 Kings 8:41. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, comes from a far country for your name's sake. That's a Gentile. That's us. Any one of us that are not Jewish. He says, when they come, this is, he's praying about this. He says this, for they shall hear of your great name and your mighty hand and of your outstretched arm. When he comes in praise towards this house, Solomon is praying and he says, when a foreigner who worships other gods comes here and realizes that you are powerful because of what they understand about this building, and they pray this direction, verse 43, hear in heaven your dwelling place and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you. Here it is. In order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house is the one that I have built is called by your name. Guys, we could keep going, but we don't have time. Over and over, God is saying, I want the world to worship me. This is my desire. This has been his plan from the start. And so last week, we talked about missionaries who were sitting on these front four rows here that were called to go out. Every one of them has a calling story. They could tell you about where they were, what they were doing when they felt like God said, this is where I want you to go, and this is who I want you to minister to. But I want to let you in a little secret. If we're not careful, we distort the story of God by relying too heavily on that word calling. And the reason is this. God does call us to things. But all of us have been called to worship him and to lead others to worship him. Now, we get real tied up in the real estate of where that's supposed to happen. And I do pray God will keep calling people out to go to hard-to-reach places. But friends, you have been called just the same as me, that all peoples will come to know him. So my question is, who are your people? Who are your people? It's your family? It's your coworkers? It's your classmates? The people that you coach ball with? The people on your ball team, people you know in your neighborhood. Maybe it's the Pamiri in Tajikistan. Maybe it is going to Uganda to serve for a week. But the truth is, don't let it just be about a week somewhere. Let it be about your calling. You and I have been called to worship him, to give him glory, and that the world will give him glory. That is the story of God. So we must pray. We must give. We must go. But the truth is, really, we just got to live. We got to live our lives in a way that people will glorify God because of what they see in us, and they'll want to worship him and to get to know him better. Here's the way I would word it. I want you to think about it this way. Daniel didn't really have a call from God that the world would know him. Daniel had an emergency and got thrown in a lion's den. And then from that, all the peoples of the earth heard about it and were to give God glory. David didn't wake up one morning and say, I feel called to kill a giant today. David woke up, his dad said, take this lunch to your brothers. And David got caught up in a crisis. And in the middle of getting caught up in that crisis, God used him that the world would hear about him and come to know him. I could tell you person after person in the Bible where that continues to be the case. And let me say of you, if you're waiting for a call to go to your neighbor, if you're waiting for a call to worship God openly, if you're waiting for a call to be salt and light to somebody, realize you've already received the call. Now God's put you in your circumstance so that you can be God's man or woman on the scene. You're in a different place than me. Your peoples are different than mine. My circle of influence is different than yours. They're just different. And so why? That's the way God made us. It's His story. He wants us to live out. I wrote it down this way. You don't have to feel a call to share Christ with the nations. And you are caught up in God's story to share Christ with the nations. We're already a part of that. Whether it's around the world and we help pray and give and go that happens, or whether it's right here in your own neighborhood, your own home, a bedroom down the hall, if it's with your friends, if it's your coworkers, whatever the case may be. Here's what I learned from David's story, from Daniel's story, from how about Job's story? Job's not got a good, happy story like those guys do. What about Esther's story? What about Shamgar's story in the Bible? What about, I could just keep going, Samson's story in the Bible. Every single person put in a circumstance and situation that the world would see who he was. So here's how I worded it. The sovereign God will use your joy and he'll use your sorrow. Both, that others will be drawn to worship him. The sovereign God will use your success. He'll use your failure. Everybody fails at some time. He'll use your success and your failures so that others will worship him and receive his glory. He'll use your trials and your triumphs. He will use your mundane Mondays. How about that? Your mundane life, the things you just have to do routine day in and day out. He'll use that for his glory, and he'll use the few and far between exciting parts of your life as well. He'll use all of that for his glory so that we can worship him and others can see that and be drawn to worship him. We all have a part to play in his ultimate goal. And I read it last week in the first 4 minutes. His ultimate goal is Revelation 5, 9 and 10. It says this. This is heaven. It's a picture of heaven. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." The blood will never lose its power. Blood was shed in Genesis, and right here in Revelation it says, "By the blood of the Lamb of Jesus, by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God that they shall reign on the earth." Now, I said God repeats himself often when it's really important. That's Revelation chapter 5. If you scoot on over to Revelation chapter 7, same verses 9 and 10, you'll hear it again. In just a little bit different way, God is saying he wants all people from all the nations, tribes, and languages to be worshiping him. From Genesis to Revelation, that's been his plan. So what are you and I supposed to do with this? What do we do with this today? This is not a missions message that says pray more, give more, go more, though I do hope you'll pray more. I do hope you'll give, and I do hope you'll go. When it comes to prayer, I should have looked it up. I didn't plan to say this morning or now, but I'm going to do it again. I was listening in an audio book yesterday while I was driving, and they quoted John Piper, and I'm not going to be able to quote it right, but I'm going to get close enough that it'll make sense. He quoted it from a few years back when Twitter was called Twitter and not X. It changed its name. I don't really know what that's about, but anyway, it's X now, but it was Twitter, and he said this. And I thought it was so powerful. He was talking about praying that the world would know God. And he said this. This is a rough estimate of it. John Piper said that Twitter is proof that our lack of prayers is not because we didn't have the time. Now, let me say that again. That hurts a little bit. Social media is proof that our lack of prayers for the world to know Christ is not because we ran out of time. Because how long do we spend scrolling with those thumbs? Some of y'all have had to have surgery on your thumbs because of y'all scrolling. All right, y'all know who you are. Right? Anyway, so you know. So what I would say is this. It was convicting to me. Whether it's about you or not, it was convicting to me. I don't have Twitter X. I don't have Instagram. I don't have all those. I'm 53. I have Facebook. That's all I got. But on there, I can find myself, if I'm not careful, want to get on there to maybe leave a scripture or tell you how many days to Christmas, be a blessing to you, somewhere like that. And, you know, but then I get stuck in the hole, the rabbit hole of stupidity. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You just start looking and seeing things, and then you make the mistake. You start looking at people's comments thread, and then you get mad, and you want to have an argument, all this stuff. And John Piper's right. We can never say, oh, I just run out of time in the day to pray for the world. We got time. So friends, I do want to say, one of the best things you can do with today's message is to pray that the world would know him, that your friends would know him, to give, be a part of, with the blessing of our partners in local ministry and things we do, to go, serve in your community, serve around you, do all those things. That's great, that's fine. But I really want to make it more personal than that and say this, let's do connect to nations, people that aren't represented in the Revelation 5 group yet. Let's pray for the Premier people. Let's continue to make that our priority to pray for them. But really, I want to really boil it down to this. You and I have a calling to be salt and light so those around us will be in the Revelation 5 group. I don't know how many people in Revelation 5, 9, and 10, and Revelation 7, 9, and 10, people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language, I don't know how many of those are Sand Mountain people. I don't know how many of those are Latinos who live on Sand Mountain, Haitians who live on Sand Mountain, Caucasians who live on Sand Mountain, people who live in the poorest neighborhood on Sand Mountain and the richest neighborhood in Sand Mountain. I don't know that, but I know this. God somehow knows, he's already in the future, knows the exact number of how many people from our peoples will be there. But all I know is that God's called me to be salt and light so that more peoples around us can be there. How are you salt and light? I think Kel's going to preach about this very soon for us, but in Matthew chapter, now I really put you on the spot, you're going to have to preach about it, so it does. Matthew 5, 13 through 16, where it talks about being salt and light, and I used this quote last summer, and so now it's our question of the month for the month of February, starting today, and that is this: are you making things better, and are you making things brighter? Because salt makes things better. Light makes things brighter. And if Jesus said that we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, then everywhere we go, we should make things better and brighter. And if you're not walking into a room and making it better and brighter, we're not doing it the Jesus way. If we're not walking into a crisis, making it better and brighter, we're not doing it the Jesus way. A lot of pressure there, but the reality is that's living our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit that others will see it and want to worship him. So that's my question to end today. Are you making things better and brighter? Because that's how we tell the story for every people, nation, tribe, and tongue, and language. They will see it in us and want that. That's how we do it. Would you pray with me? With your heads bowed for just a moment. Remember, this isn't about, has God called you to be salt and light? He told us to be salt and light. Has God called you to make things better and make things brighter? 100%. Every person who knows Jesus is supposed to do that. So what does that look like in your life? As you walk into one of the ministry partners we have and you want to partner with them, you're going to make things better and brighter. As you serve here locally in some of our local ministry opportunities, you make things better and brighter. As you start practicing for softball and baseball, as we get ready for opening day coming in early April, that's not far off from now. We're in February now. You're going to be around a lot of people. You can make things better. You can make things brighter for Jesus' sake. That the peoples of the world, including the peoples right here, will want to worship him and give him glory because they see it in us. God has blessed you. We can be a blessing to others. Will you make a renewed commitment to do just that? Father God, my prayer is that you would help each of us in this room, myself included, to do that. Lord, that you would help me to want to make things better and brighter. I must confess there have been things this last week that I didn't make better, maybe. Maybe a situation or two where I surely didn't make it brighter. God, I want to do that in my life. I want it to count. I want it to matter. And I pray the same for every person in this room, that it wouldn't just be about let's send somebody who's called. We would be reminded that we've all been called out to do these things, to give glory that the world would know him. The world would want to know you. So God, like David, if we're facing a giant, may we do so with your help and your guidance so that others will be drawn to you. Father, like Daniel, if we're in a crisis, Lord, and if we're grieving, if we're struggling, Lord, I don't know that you're necessarily going to take all that away instantly, but I do know that in the middle of all of it, that you will allow us to live our lives in a way that gives you glory, that somebody else is going to say, I want that. If they can still glorify God in their crisis, God, you must be real. I need that. God, if it's in some other circumstance or situation, Lord, use us. We are your men and women on the scene wherever you've put us because you're sovereign. You did it on purpose. So God, let us be an influence that the world would know you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So guys, my hope is that you will take the scripture from Genesis and the way God repeats himself over and over, that you'll start looking at stories of the Bible through the lens that God wants the world to know him, that you'll take what Bob Sjogren said and that you'll start to use your Bible to look for God and not to look for your own picture there and to just be about us. I got to work on that. It's not about me. It's about him. And so if God's speaking to you and you just need to pray, come and pray. If you need to pray with me, I'll be right here. Otherwise, we're going to sing one verse of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And I pray this could be your prayer. Let's stand together as we sing it.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.